You are listening to the weekly message from Mount Helena Community Church. Celebration services are every Sunday at 10 a.m. at the Gateway Center. Or join us live online at www.mounthelena.cc.
This is an exciting day, isn't it? Thank you, Lord God. What a difference He's made. We could take the rest of today, we're not going to, but we could take the rest of today, and this group of people could speak all day for days about how good God's been to us, right? The difference that He has made in our life is phenomenal. It's eternal. It's so big, it's eternal, right? If you're in Scripture today, if you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul is speaking with some passion, with this sort of eternal life inside of him. He's speaking and he's sharing the truth of God, and he's speaking out of some concern to the Corinthians, and he's trying to explain something. He's trying to be really clear. It says, "Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh." Could you back up one for me, please, Jason? 5:14. No? That's all right. 5:14 says this, "For the love of Christ controls us." Another version says, "compels us." The love of Christ compels us. And he's talking about the early church and the early believers. By early, I mean not just the Corinthians, but I mean like the first converts, the first people who gathered and understood on a morning like today, on Easter morning. He's saying the love of Christ compels us. It convicts us. It leads us. It controls us. And we have concluded this, that because He died, we've all died. Can you say amen to that? Because He died, because of His death, we've all died. Those who are in Christ, that one died for all, therefore all died. And He died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. Yeah, some rich words, right? Paul continues in verse 16 there then, Jason. It says, "Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh." Listen to what Paul says, how he used to look at Christ. He says, "Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him in this way no longer." Paul's saying, "I used to look at Christ. I used to see Him as just an ordinary man." He actually had a hatred and a vengeance in him for what God was doing on the face of the earth. And most of us know that He was the great persecutor, right? He was after the Christians. He was after the movement. And the great movement that was happening in the name of Jesus Christ and the followers of Jesus were under the skin of the rulers and the powers and the principalities at the time. It was underneath the Romans. It was under the skin of the Jews, and they were out for Christ. And because they were out for Him, He had to die. That's how it looked on the outside. And Paul's saying, that's how I used to look at Him. I used to look at Him like the world, another version says, looked at Him. But I, not only do I not look at Christ in that way anymore, I cannot look at any man like that anymore. Because of Christ, I cannot look at any man as if he's just flesh. What is he also? He is spirit, right? That every man isn't just flesh, he's also spirit. And that something can happen in that man that can transform him. Something can happen in that person that they could actually die, but never really die. They could die a death because Christ died a death, and they could experience a resurrection because Christ was resurrected. I think of the story in John. It's on a slide there, Jason. There's a story in John where Martha is challenging Jesus, and she's saying, "Jesus, if you were here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus talks about that death. He says to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who believes in me will never die. And he says, do you believe this? Do you believe this? I want to ask you this morning, the things that I have to say today, I want to ask you, do you believe this? Do you believe? In that scripture, Paul is warning them. And there's a different kind of warning that I want to share with us today. Paul is saying, I used to look at Christ in the flesh, and now I cannot look at him that way anymore. He wasn't just flesh, and that had to be preached at the time. He wasn't just a man. He wasn't just wise. He wasn't just perfect. He didn't just die an innocent death. He was also God. He was the Son of God, right? I love some of those stories in Scripture. Even the thief on the cross this last Friday that we would celebrate when Christ was still alive and hadn't given himself up unto death yet. He was being mocked by the thief on the one side, right? And it was the other thief that said, basically, shut your mouth, right? This man does not deserve what he's getting. But as for you and I, we deserve what we're getting. This man's innocent. The claim above his head, the reason for crucifixion was because he claimed to be the King of the Jews. Because he claimed to be the Son of God. And it still had to be preached at that time. That was the message that Paul was taking forth. This was no ordinary man. It was no ordinary death. So that thief proclaimed that. And in that moment, somehow it meant eternal life when he said that, because he believed in his heart and he confessed with his mouth, but still not realizing that at all, he says to Jesus, he turns to Jesus and he says, please remember me today in paradise. He knew where Jesus was going, didn't he? I don't think he knew where he was going. How about you? I don't think he understood what happened yet, but Jesus says to him, and even though Jesus clarified, I don't think it sank in with him, did it? He says, surely I'll remember you because you will be with me in paradise. What a salvation moment. I think he was shocked at the end of the day that he was in paradise. I think he heard Jesus, but I don't think he understood what had just happened. Knowing he deserved what he was getting, he deserved where he was going, he was hoping Jesus would just remember him. Might go a little easier. Maybe a little lighter. How about the Roman guard? I love some of the detail in the book of Mark. Shortest book of the four Gospels, but Mark has some incredible details. In chapter 16, he's sharing about the crucifixion as well. And Jesus had to be off of the cross. They all three did. By dark time, they couldn't leave their bodies there. They had to be prepared and buried. And yet, there was scripture, there was prophecy that said that not even a bone could be broken of Jesus's, right? And so Jesus gave up his life. And as JR shared a couple weeks ago, that veil that was super thick that had to be drawn by horses to be opened or closed had been torn and ripped in two parts, signifying that the Holy Spirit wasn't just in the back of the temple anymore. God's presence wasn't just in the back of the temple. God's presence was all over the earth now. And when he did that, scripture says that there was darkness for 3 hours on the earth, and the earth shook. There was earthquakes all over the earth, and there was complete darkness. And after that darkness passed, one of those guards who had gambled for his clothing and had cast lots for his clothing, I believe, had a salvation moment as well. He had a moment of clarity. And he spoke up after the darkness had passed. And he said, truly this was no ordinary man. This truly was the Son of God. I don't think he crucified him knowing that. I don't think he crucified him believing that. I think he was under the pressure of the rest of the Roman government, who were under the pressure of the Jewish leadership at the time, and they wanted to keep a revolt from happening, and he was doing his job. But in the midst of his job, he realized this was no ordinary man. And he realized it in the book of Mark. He includes the details because Jesus' bones could not be broken, which is the way most people finished death on the cross, by strangulation, really. Their legs would be broken and they would hang there on those nails and they would not be able to pull themselves up to breathe, and they would slowly fill with blood from the beatings and all, and they would strangle themselves, or they would be strangled to death, really, on a cross. But Jesus wasn't that. But what if he was faking it? They're supposed to break his legs, but we know scripturally, prophetically, that his legs couldn't be broken, so that Roman guard had taken his spear and shoved it up his side. And Mark says, blood and water flowed from his side. Blood and water, that tells me they're not mixed together. He didn't say diluted blood flowed from his side. He said blood and water, symbolic of what had happened with the blood of Jesus Christ, that we had been justified, that our sins had been atoned for, and that even his corpse, even his fleshly most part of his being, his part that's most like us, even his dead body when his spirit had been given up and was on course for the next 3 days to resurrection morning, even his corpse and his rags that are like ours bled and testified, not just blood, but with water, saying this body is no ordinary body. This flesh is no ordinary flesh. It was the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Is that not powerful to you? That's powerful to me. And it's under that conviction, when he pulled that spear out and saw what was happening there, it's under that conviction that he had to speak up. And he had to say, this was no ordinary man. Truly, this was the Son of God. Paul is speaking out of this kind of conviction. He's saying, he's no ordinary man, this Jesus. He was no ordinary man. He was man, and he was God. I want to say to us today, we've long passed those days, haven't we? 2,000 years ago. And for most of us, there's a bit of a disconnect in us. We see him as the Son of God, don't we? We see him as our Savior. We didn't see the things that he did. We read the things that he did. And there's a temptation in us. There's a great temptation and an unfairness towards God to continue to believe that he is the Son of God, but that he's just God. And he wasn't just God, was he? He was human like us. He was flesh like us. As a boy, I think he was inquisitive. I think he went through some of the natural things of wondering what would happen if I... As a teenage boy, I think he was filled with the hormones that we went through as teenage boys. It says he was tempted in every way. As an adult man, I'm not sure I can say that Jesus was insecure. Certainly he was tempted with it, because Scripture says so. He was tempted with all things that our flesh and our bodies and our human nature is tempted with. But can you imagine being 30 years old, 32 years old, coming from a Jewish village where there's plenty of pressure for cultural things, and he's not married? Jesus of Nazareth. He went through the singleness that all of us have, the pressures and the wondering and what's happening. Not that he was wondering, but that he knew what those social pressures were like. If you will, Jesus knew all the awkwardness of life. In whatever way we can define it and say it, Jesus knew how awkward it is to be human, to be us. He wasn't a God in the back of a temple. He wasn't made of stone. He was made of flesh like you and I. He wasn't a God that was made up and that books were written about and orders that keep changing about. He wrote the last commandment. He penned the Great Commission. He spoke it. And he says, I've lived a life like you. And I am the resurrection. I am the life. And whoever dies believing in me will never die. I love it. That's the kind of Jesus that we serve, that we celebrate, not just on Easter Sunday, but who celebrates with us every day, who wants that kind of victory for us every day. I like to think of it in a little different context. Me personally, I grew up as a kid wrestling and rodeoing, and those are the activities where I was involved in. My kids are figuring out those activities right now, whether it's soccer they like or ballet that they like, and what if I did gymnastics, and what if I did this or what if I did that. But myself, it was just wrestling and rodeo. Those were the options. That's what I did, and I loved it. And I loved it. But in that, there were times that I came as an athlete under pressure, and I was wrestling at the time of even former Montana Olympians, Billy and Mike Zadek from Great Falls, Montana, who wrestled in the Olympics and represented our country and wrestled on world teams. And granted, they hadn't done that, but as a little kid, they were pretty intimidating to know they were even in the same gym as you, much less the same bracket, much less the same side of the bracket as you. And what if I have to wrestle them? Or being at a rodeo with former world champion cowboys, and or drawing a former NFR bucking bull trick-or-treat in Great Falls, Montana. And the kind of fear and overwhelming anxiety that will come inside of you then. And my dad would have some lyrics that he would share that he would say, right? And if it were someone else I'm competing against, he would say, oh, no, I'm going to repeat them. But they're clean. They're church-worthy. They're Easter Sunday-worthy even. They're that clean. But he would say, Jason, he's just like you. He's no different than you. He has to put his pants on just like you, one leg at a time. And I would realize, well, that would just bring it down for me a little bit, right? In rodeo competition, he would say, particularly when I was feeling fear or intimidation or anxiety about what I was about to get on or who I was competing against, it's a cowboy term, but he would say, there was never a cowboy that couldn't be throwed and a bull that couldn't be rode. And that put a certain sort of confidence in me. Everybody can be throwed off. Every bull can be rode. And I got to ride a number of them for the first time. Smuckers. Smuckers was his name, and he was unridden for 3 years. Trick or Treat Skull was a bad dude from the eliminator pin of the NFR. And those sort of things from your dad are encouraging, and they're comforting. And it's not that he was right there at the time and the moment telling me those things, but he'd sowed those things into my brain, into my spirit, into my heart before, and you can bet I was thinking of those things. God does that with us, doesn't he? He sows his word into our hearts. And when we come up against challenges and awkwardness and intimidation and fear, it's not God who's saying, do it like I did it, because I did it perfectly. No, it's Christ saying, I've been there. I understand, and I want to do it with you. I want to do it with you. Again, to take it to a wrestling gymnasium full of wrestling mats, it's not a dad who's up in the stands who said, I've done it, I've accomplished it, and I'm going to sit up here on the top row and see how he does. But he's the dad that would be on the corner of the mat doing all that he can. He can't do it for us, but he's there saying, I want to do it with you. I'm here to do life with you. I've been there. I've done that. It's not just a book that says, bow down and worship me in this direction and that direction and do this and that. So you recognize how great I am. It's Jesus Christ saying, no, wait, I'm coming down to earth to do it with you, to be with you, to show Colton Shirley, to say, Colton, all right, for a moment, Colton, think that I'm Jesus, and then forget it. But it's Jesus saying, Colton, I've lived my life not to show you perfection, that you would attain it, that you would live a life perfectly like me. I know that you can, But I've lived this life, Colton, to show you how I, Jesus, would live your life if I were Colton Shirley. Is that true? It's not a bar that says, son, I'm a four-time state champion, and I expect that out of you. But it's a bar that says, I've been there, I've done that, I've struggled through it, I've gotten through it, I've attained it with victory, and I have some things to say. I want to do it with you. I want to be with you. That's the God we serve. That's the Jesus we celebrate on a Sunday like this. That's the kind of death and burial and resurrection we're going to watch these 12 people go through today. That they're identifying with that. And when Jesus says, do you believe? They're saying, yes, I believe. I believe that he died for me. I believe that he rose for me. I believe that he lives now with me. With me. In 1 Timothy, it says, Timothy, in 1 Timothy, Paul is giving Timothy some instructions on worship, and we've just come out of this worship series, which was great and fantastic, and we appreciate all of you who participated in the Coffee Talk Sunday and a part of that series. But in the middle of his instructions on worship, Paul says this. He says, this is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved, and he wants all people to come to a knowledge of truth. A knowledge of the truth, for there's one God, and there's one mediator between God and mankind. Listen to what he says. The man, Christ Jesus. I think Paul chose that intentionally. He highlights that intentionally. The man, Christ Jesus. There's lots of scriptures, and we talk that way a lot in church, don't we? About him being our Lord and our Savior and the Son of God. And what I want to highlight today, I want to put before you, he was man like us, and he wants to live with us. He wants to be with us. He wants to dwell with us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to compete with us and work with us. Who, that man, Christ Jesus, gave himself as a ransom for all people. In that sense, for him to be ransom for you and I on a weekend like this that is celebrated more than 2,000 years later, he had to be man. He had to come and be flesh. He had to conquer flesh. He had to be the example to each one of us in this room in a way that doesn't say, I'm up here, do it like I did, accomplish as much as I did, but says, I want to do it with you. And together, we can do it. We will live that life that constantly goes through death and burial, but constantly goes through resurrection, awaiting the ultimate resurrection. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says, for we died and we are buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. We're all living a resurrected life. If you believe in Jesus Christ, when he says, as he did to Martha, but do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe what I say? Then you're living a resurrected life. We are celebrating, as even the early church did, the old church did. Easter was a big deal back then, like it is today. And the early church would often baptize on Easter Sunday, and they'd often welcome the new members of the church and new believers in Christ, and they'd welcome them with open arms and with great celebration and great jubilee, and we decided to make that a part of this Easter Sunday celebration.
For more information, visit our website at www.mounthelena.cc. Download our mobile app, available in iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Facebook.